Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Enjoy tons of bonus videos, including patron-only live shows, gameplay, and vintage 10 for the wins, access to podcast question threads, the Friendo Care Package, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And on today's Going In Raw News Brief, Pat McAfee talks about his future in wrestling.
WWE call-ups are getting stiff by WWE.
We predict Impact's emergence night 2. But first, the real reason for Keith Lee's theme music change has been revealed. Larson, what's in the news?
So, during Keith Lee's impressive debut last night on Raw, we all noticed a couple things were different about his presentation. He had some new ring gear. Yeah, new theme. And kind of it wasn't really met with any sort of popular approval.
Quite the opposite. Like it. People crapped all over it. It was like the most generic theme music.
It's really generic.
It's super generic.
However, Fightful Select, and go subscribe to Fightful Select, has some details on why WWE decided to change his entrance music for his main roster call-up, reporting that WWE has been, quote, urging talent to ditch their CFO dollar sign themes. And that apparently has to do with a crap publishing deal that CFO dollar sign signed. Fightful states that Lee agreed to the change, but some other superstars have rejected the idea of changing themes. I would guess from something that's maybe good that CFO dollar sign had to something generic that WB has laying around in their vault somewhere.
Yeah. What are these? What are they supposed to do? Like, they're being urged to like get rid of, okay, fine. Hold on a second. Let me whip something up on crappy GarageBand here real quick. And then you can play that. What are they supposed to do? These are athletes and performers, not musicians.
Well, also, I mean, they're not just athletes and performers. They're athletes and performers where their presentation, their packaging does a lot for them.
It does.
You know? So anyways, back in February, Fightful had some details on CFO dollar signs, bad publishing deal and how it affected their relationship with WWE. That's what they had to say. Quote, according to one source, CFO dollar sign was out a significant cut of money as it relates to their deal. Apparently, in the previous Fightful Select story, like their publishing deal says their publisher gets like half their royalties. It's absurd.
It's horrible.
The same
exploitation of artists, man.
More from Fightful. The same aforementioned source indicated that CFO dollar sign tried to get WWE to buy them out of their deal, which WWE seemed on board with, but the publisher rejected. The plan that Fightful heard was that WWE hoped to bring them in-house, but the talks got to a standstill and eventually ran out. It's thought that CFO dollar sign have a non-compete with their publisher, which is why they haven't returned. That's a crummy deal, man.
Yeah, that's a super crummy deal. I just don't like, I understand that. So it just sounds like, number one, there are some details that are sort of missing from this, like the entire picture, because like if CFO was contracted to do this work for WWE and WWE has these things, I mean, I guess if WWE continues to, maybe the arrangement, I'm just completely guessing in terms of why WWE would then want to discontinue using these theme songs. I'm assuming it's because when they do, they have to pay out royalties to CFO Dollar Sign and to their publisher. Would that be, and they're like, oh, we don't want to do that anymore?
I guess it would depend on the nature of the arrangement they had. Is it a situation where CFO Dollar Sign would create these themes and WWE would license themes? Then I believe the situation you laid out is correct. If this is a work-for-hire situation where WWE pays CFO Dollar Sign a flat rate, it would be, then WWE would own those songs.
And why would they? Yeah, so I would assume then it's got to be a licensing thing.
It's got to be the former,
think so. Yeah. I mean, when they had Jim Johnston in house, that was like, okay, you're, I would assume, an employee.
Everything's work for hire then.
And that's work. That's work for hire.
WWE
exactly.
owns all that music. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's funny. I understand. Okay. This is a clean slate. We're changing over. The thing that WWE really has to, if they want to get, and maybe seemingly they don't care, but the perception that exists, and I understand the perception, but because like everybody in our comments on the YouTube video is like, oh, Steve, you're crazy. They're burying him. They're changing his music. That means they're burying him, overlooking the fact. But here's the thing. I understand that sentiment because there is a precedent for it.
There is a precedent. And, you know, like the theme stuff, you know, if Fightful Select report is accurate, and I have no reason to think it's not, because they do great work over there. Then that makes sense. I get it from a legal standpoint. If WWE thought, okay, I mean, the thing is, I don't know how it's different than NXT versus on WWE main. I don't know if the licensing deal is different.
Yeah,
I don't know why seemingly they're cool using CFO Dollar Sign stuff maybe in NXT, but main is a different deal. I just don't know. Maybe it's a situation where you know, since main is seen by more people, you know, maybe the deal is, you know, based on some metric that main roster does better than NXT. I don't know. I completely lost my train of thought. Carry on.
No, that's fine. It's my speculation is this. They view main roster as a clean slate. It's, hey, let's present you now in a different light, similar to, well, you know, somebody making a return. Sasha Banks returns. She's got a new attitude. Sure, her hair is a different color. Let's take that opportunity to give the audience a packaging representation of that, a visual and audio representation of that. So let's change her music, which she did. Bayley, same thing, heel turn. She got new music because obviously the last stuff didn't reflect her. The problem with call-ups is that they're different. And honestly, like if they want to start building back the credibility with the audience, you just let them continue to do his NXT stuff and keep that the same, put him in the good spot that he's in, which you can't argue, like a match with Randy Orton, a payback is not a good, it's a great spot. You do that and maybe at his pay-per-view debut, which is a big deal. And everybody's like, oh, wow. Then you give them a new theme song, then you have them debut the new gear.
Yeah, and I think the point is not so much they change the theme, is they just change it to a crummy theme. Like if they change it and it was awesome, and it was as good a representation of Keith Lee's NXT theme, then people would be like, oh, this is great, fantastic. But it's not that, it's generic.
If there was some
boring,
like, yeah, if there was like some obvious actual production value behind it,
yeah,
then it would probably people would be like, oh wow, like, I'm used to the old thing, but I'm open to it.
But I mean, in terms of viewers who don't watch NXT, who are unfamiliar with Keith Lee's work, you hear Basket in His Glory, you hear him, you know, doing the vocals for his own theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, there's something about that is a lot more captivating than, oh, another generic entrance.
Yeah,
this guy just must be another generic wrestler in WWE's eyes if he's got just another generic entrance. From a presentation standpoint, I feel like the quality of the theme music does matter. Granted, you know, he'll change minds as soon as he steps foot in that ring and starts doing all the incredible stuff he can do. Mm-hmm. But in terms of first impressions, when his music hits, you're like, oh, okay, well, this is boring. What does that tell me about this wrestler?
Here's the thing about it, too, is that, I mean, just going back to the business aspect of things, this CFO Dollar Sign thing, like, do you have the date on that last Fightful report, like the previous one?
It's February. I believe February of this year.
Dude, it's been 6 months. This is a billion-dollar company. They can't find a different set of musicians to work with that have...
I know.
There's a... Get on SoundCloud. There's a million of them out there. Put a call out there. Do it. Make it public. Make it like a big, hey, we're looking for the next WWE music producer. Send us your dope beats and freshest jams.
Yeah.
And we'll bring you on board.
Demos.
You could be the new Jim Johnson. It's insane that they don't do that.
Especially
it's crazy.
Today when music production is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Anybody with a laptop.
Yes. Yes.
And a MIDI keyboard can, you know, create wrestling themes.
And here's the thing. If you make it a personality-based thing, I'm sorry, you don't make it a personality-based thing, but you say, hey, this is the winner. You publicize who the winner is. People will be more willing to give that theme music the benefit of the doubt because it's like, oh, we get to see who this is. This person was in their basement doing these dope jams, fresh beats. They won this contest because people voted their music. And now look at what they're doing. They're more apt. It's this whole, like, they're WWE can be too corporate for their own good sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they quite
oftentimes,
often are.
Oftentimes. Oftentimes.
Quite
oh,
often
right.
are, yes.
Anyways, yeah. So speaking of Pat McAfee, we're about to do that. He's talking about his future with that corporation, the WWE. So obviously following his very impressive in-ring debut during last weekend's NXT TakeOver 30, Pat McAfee spoke to ESPN about his future in the WWE. And he said this, to be completely honest, I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen. I'm not under contract to do anything else with Mr. H. I assume he and I will talk about this at some point because I heard his comments in the press conference afterward, which were very nice. But for me, all I was worried about was that match at NXT TakeOver 30, and then I'll let everything else kind of sort itself out, and I think that's where I'm at right now. I feel good. If I never get in the ring again, I'll be very thankful for the opportunity. I'll be proud of it. If something pops up and it's right, and my wife doesn't mind, because I did miss some of the honeymoon for this whole thing, and she's been incredibly cool. There's a lot that goes into it. To be honest, I just started thinking about it within the last 24 hours, and I have no idea what the future holds. Let's see here. During his traditional post-takeover conference call, of course, Triple H said this about McAfee, and these transcripts come to you from Wrestling Inc. Pat has every intention of doing this and being not only an NXT superstar, but if the time is right, a WWE superstar. Wow, Triple H is contradicting what Pat McAfee said.
Kind of.
He has a lot of other commitments from his podcast, everything else he does. He has a lot of commitments and a lot of things across the board. But he's very serious about this, and we'll see where it goes. So he's trying to twist his arm there in the press.
Seemingly.
You know, commit
Seemingly.
For
like,
him.
He also said during that conference call something like, hey, Triple H, remember we have this phone call. We could talk about it when I'm inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's what McAfee said.
I don't know. I feel like the dude, he does have a lot on his plate. Would I want to see him as a regular NXT superstar? I kind of like the role he's in right now.
Yeah, I mean, if he pops up from here and there, you know, from time to time here and there and has a match or two a year, if he could put on performances on par with what he did against Adam Cole, why not?
You know, it would be...
Because he brings eyeballs to NXT, apparently. He brought eyeballs to our videos about him.
You know, you're right. You know what would be fun is if these guys are, you know, enemies. I would like to see them as a reluctant tag team. That's sort of the next story that I would like to see because... And then eventually them just become friends because honestly, it seems like they really like each other.
Oh, yeah.
They work really well together. They have good chemistry. I mean, Adam Cole, when he would, you know, when he was talking about the Pat McAfee on a pole match, he couldn't, like, they both were just honestly, like, on the verge of cracking up over the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know, man. I think that it could be fun as long as it's within the context of, hey, let's do some more goofy stuff with Adam Cole. Yeah. That could be fun.
Totally. Speaking of NXT. So we've had some NXT call-ups of late hitting the main roster and with the company making like record profits. They've never made more money. You'd think that maybe they'd all get new deals that reflect the fact that they're on the main roster now, but Feifel is reporting that's not the case. This is what Feifel had to say. Quote, Feifel has heard from multiple sources that several recent WWE call-ups have not received new contracts. Many of them are actually working lighter schedules than they were in NXT before the pandemic started. One source high up in WWE told us that the topic of extending the contracts or offering new ones will likely be broached when things return to normal. Though that's much easier said than done, WWE has no idea what their live event schedule will look like when that happens or even if they'll have one outside of TV. So that it sounds like this, even now in this current climate, they're tying their contracts seemingly exclusively to how many dates you work. As opposed to anything else. But I mean, like, let's say we get through pandemic era, and WWE realizes, hey, we lose money doing as many live events. So say they do Raw, SmackDown, and each maybe has an additional live show, house show per week. Mm-hmm. So that's two shows a week.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to go to everybody and say, sorry, everybody's got to take a pay cut now?
You know, I don't like this phrase because it's got some negative connotations. But in this case, and in a lot of things, it's actually true. The market will sort itself out. Because you got AEW, you got Impact seemingly with this bizarre reserve of money that they're able to throw at whoever.
That's the thing. Like, and here's the thing. Like, they'll go to Randy. They won't go to Randy Orton to say that.
Mm-mm, no.
You know, Orton's, no. Orton's, I'm sure Orton's deal is about as ironclad as it gets.
Oh, yes.
But you go to, you know, somebody in the mid card or lower card, you know, people who don't have potentially the leverage in negotiations in terms of potentially going to AEW or Impact or whatnot. You know, they can go to them. It's like, sorry, I know you signed this deal. It's 5 years or so much money, but you're not working. You're not gonna be working these dates. So we got to cut your pay. That sucks.
They're going to, I mean, it's right now we're in the middle of them figuring out what the new normal is going to be. You know, I mean, yeah, they're getting rid of live events because they don't sell well. Mm-hmm. They got a competitor in AEW that has money. They've got Impact that has money. And so they're going to be figuring out, okay, Tenera Conti, we don't want to pay you more money. So what happens then if she goes to AEW? Can she make a star out of herself there?
Yeah.
And are we going to lose out on that? There's going to be some decisions that have to be made. If they're not making their money back, I understand that. I get that they're super profitable and everything. But like any business, they take a look. Okay, well, this is what we're willing to pay for this element of our business. And now that we're not doing as many dates, it seems like their value should go down because we're not utilizing them as much. Now, whether or not that will play out for the WWE, that might end up shooting them in the foot, you know, in which case they're going to learn from that and they're going to have to pay people more money per date and they're going to be stuck doing that. Or it won't end up shooting them in the foot because not everybody can be Tenera Conti, who goes to AEW, and I mean, I don't know if she's going to be on TV again. I hope so. I think she's great.
Yeah, I hope so.
Too. Maybe she needs a little bit more training, but I think she's good. You know, I don't know. The market will sort itself out. If
yeah, yeah. I wonder what the difference is.
You want to engender good morale with your company, then give out raises, and people want to stick around with your company.
Or at the minimum, don't cut their pay, you know?
Yeah. Do you not care about that? Then, you know, okay. Then you're either going to suffer the consequences or you won't. It's that simple.
Pretty much. I wonder what the... Because obviously, like, in terms of profitability, not doing these live events has been a benefit for the company. But in terms of actual revenue brought in versus expenditures, I just wonder what... Because I think in the last quarter financials, like overall revenue was slightly down. It was just profitability that was way up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess at the end of the day, the number that is perhaps most important is profitability and how that makes the shareholders happy.
You know, you know what they could do? You know what they, and this is, again, me speaking out of my ass because what do I know, right? But one thing they really would maybe consider, and maybe they have this given what we've seen, maybe not, I don't know, but we've seen an absolute groundswell, an explosion of wrestlers taking it upon themselves to start building their own brand on things like Twitch, or, you know, like being social media influencers, you know, like, I mean, if you look at most of the women's division especially, they have been able to get themselves some brand deals just via their own Instagram accounts. Mm-hmm. If the WWE were to say, hey, listen, we can't pay you because it doesn't make sense in our budget. We can't pay you per date more than we were before, but we have this guy over here, this department over here that will help you establish your own brand so you can monetize yourself and make up some money that way and set yourself up for a post-wrestling future. I mean, that kind of thing, you would think that, oh, wow, WWE will help set me up like that. I could have the next up, up, down, down, or I can have the next whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They're helping me get those brand deals to my Instagram. That would be one thing that would be low cost to the WWE, because you're only paying a couple people a salary to do this, some social media experts.
They would get some sort of commission money, sort of brand deals, obviously, yes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And on top of that, you're showing your wrestlers, hey, we're going to help you succeed on your own independently going forward. I don't know if WWE would be interested in that, if they care. But the WWE, they have, one thing they do have is a big platform, which wrestlers, if they're savvy enough, they can find ways to monetize. We've seen that already.
They can leverage that for their own benefit.
And not saying AEW can't offer that, because they do also. They obviously have a very, very deep... I mean, I'm sure everybody who's been on Dark has been able to benefit from that as well, if you're making a splash. Yeah.
And I mean, the AEW has been very aggressive in terms of merchandising, obviously, and licensing, you know, their company thus far. I mean, they're having been around a year, or like in terms of televised show, and they already have action figures out.
Well, that's
video
games
in the workhorse. They're basically a t-shirt company as well as a wrestling promotion.
Yeah, so. Pretty much. I mean, that's one thing that WWE really could learn from AEW is the merchandising thing, is the t-shirt thing, because they get that one dude cranking out, like, some of his shirts are okay and some are just god awful.
And a lot of them are close to being decent, but seemingly half baked.
Some are so close.
Like the Liv Morgan one. That's so close to being a really cool shirt.
It's so close. I know.
Really close.
So, you know, hook them up with independent designers, hook them up with Juan Ortiz, you know, and let them go outside. They're supposed to be independent contractors. You know,
I don't know if that's the case for like their, you know, obviously when Jim Johnston was there,
I'm talking about their wrestlers.
Yeah. But I meant like in terms of the art department and stuff, people who designed the team.
Oh, they're probably employees. Yeah. Those are employees. Too. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, the wrestlers are independent contractors. Yeah. Let them be a little bit more independent. Let them go out there and...
Independent contractors.
I know. It's a big joke. Anyways, speaking of a big joke, we got Emergence Night 2 tonight. That was a joke. We've got that right here. Twitch.tv/Stephen. Well, this is on YouTube. But over at twitch.tv/Stephen Larson, I'm going to be checking out Emergence Night 2. You can watch it with me. I'm in a window. Emergence Night 2 is in a window, assuming Impact has their streaming stuff on point.
Yeah.
And that should be a lot of fun. So I'm going to watch it live at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, we've got, this should be great, Deonna Purrazzo versus Jordynne Grace, probably the main event. It should be. 30-minute knockouts Iron Man match. That should be good. Ed Edwards defends his title in an open challenge. Wonder who's going to turn themselves in to new Impact champion. Really, that's probably not going to be the main event, because they do not treat that title anything close to a main event title. Speaking of main event titles, EC3 stole the TNA World Heavyweight Championship from Moose. So apparently we're going to find out why he did that. I imagine it has something to do with controlling a narrative. And then the most professional wrestler, Brian Myers, will be taking on Willie Mack. Larson, who do you got in each of these matches?
Willie Mack.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Eddie Edwards.
Yeah.
And then Jordynne Grace.
Oh, wow. She's going to pick it back up, huh? All right. I'm going to go with the one that I will disagree with you on is Brian Myers. I agree with you on Jordynne Grace and Ed Edwards. So our predictions will all come down to Brian Myers versus Willie Mack.
Thank goodness nothing's on the line.
Here's the thing about Brian Myers. He's the most professional wrestler. That's what he's calling himself these days.
Yeah, no. Picking Willie Mack in that instance is probably a bad pick.
Anyways, hopefully we'll see you guys there. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We appreciate it. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today at patreon.com/Stephen Larson. Enjoy tons of bonus videos, including patron-only live shows, gameplay, and vintage 10 for the wins, access to podcast question threads, the Friendo Care Package, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today at patreon.com/Stephen Larson.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angi has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angi app, answer a few questions, and Angi can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angi that. Download the free Angi mobile app today or visit Angi.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.